Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The day, and by my spirit, I'm making the way, and by my spirit, you'll begin to rejoice and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is as you hold, brother in Christ, Brother Elvi Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the opportunity to share his word, share his gospel before the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah, who is at the door coming for his bride that have made herself ready. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We have so much to talk about, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. We have the audio tonight. Hallelujah, that we talked about on Sunday, how the bird flu will be the next flu that they believe is going to kill a lot of people. Praise the Lord. And so, hallelujah, please take heed to God's message. Hallelujah, be aware that God said these things will come. God said in Jeremiah 5, verse 5, let me go to an important people and speak to them. This is from the Word of God translation. They know the way of the Lord and the justice that God demands, but they too have broken off their yokes and turned off their chain. And this is why a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the wilderness will destroy them. A leper will lie ambush outside the city. And all who leave the city will be turned to pieces because they rebel so often and they become more and more unfaithful. Why should I forgive you, God says there? You shouldn't abandon me. They took God's oath. They committed adultery, even though I satisfied their needs. They travel and crawl to the house of prostitute. They are like well-fed stallions that are with desire. They name for their neighbor's wife. I will punish them for the things, declares the Lord. I will punish the nation. That is so true. He said he will punish the nation, my brother and sister, in verse 9, and that is what the 3 days of darkness is. It's God punishing the nation. Shalom, Brother Miguel. And so remember that, my brother and sister. The 3 days of darkness is like a cleansing, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. that God is bringing upon the earth, thank you, Lord, that we must, hallelujah, remember and take serious, because it is coming, my brothers and sisters, because God said it's coming. That's why we know it's coming. Thank you, Lord, because he said his word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We are in the last days, my brother and sister. When the Lord said that, hallelujah, these things we were going to encounter, we were going to see, we were going to live through. Amen. He says there will be many signs, many, many wonder. In the nation, Matthew 24, will rise against nation. And that's exactly what we're seeing, Russia rising against Ukraine, my brother and sister. Amen. And it could have been avoided, but when the army of the Russians and the Ukraine are vaccinated, it changes everything. Because now they're not thinking like human. They're not thinking like the unvaccinated. Before they got vaccinated, they could have brought it to the table and my brother and sister not do such a thing. They would talk it over and say, you know, this makes no sense. Why should we do these things, my brother and sister? And we'll not go through it. Hallelujah. And a lot of people, they classify Russia for many years for not taking this step, my brother and sister. And everything is because when God say these things, hallelujah, are going to pass, hallelujah, they're going to come to pass. And this is the timing, my brother and sister. This is the timing when these things are to happen in the last day, in the end of time, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Very important we keep it to mind. And Isaiah 11:7 say, a cow and a bear will eat together. The young will lie together. Lion will eat straw like an oxen. This is in regard to the new earth, the new millennium we were talking about, my brother and sister, that we can hope for better, okay? So as we talk about the things that are coming soon in the 3 days of darkness, we also have to have hope in the Lord that God has better plan for us, that this earth is no more for us, that what God is bringing upon this earth, the new earth, is 1,000 times better than this. And we don't have to be, we're not going to have to worry anymore about a nation rising against nation for 1,000 years. The Lord will be the commander-in-chief of the earth, and everything will be by his decision, by his plan, by his agenda. And everything will be peaceful, full of joy, glorious, my brother and sister, and that's what we're looking for. These are his promise to us, my brother and sister, and praise God for that, because he has better things planned for our lives. Hallelujah, that we truly can enjoy them. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We're looking forward for better things. We're looking forward for what God has in store for us. Jesus has in store for us. He is salvation. He is Messiah. He is the life for everyone who believes in him. And he, of course, he will give us life, because abundant life, because that's what we need. My brother insisted. He knew that the earth would need more abundant life in the last day than ever. Why, my brother and sister? Why would they need, hallelujah, so much life? Because he knew that man listening to fallen angel were going to take up by sin that would take their life away, my brother and sister, that would separate them from God. And so Messiah was ready for this before he created this world. He knew what this fallen one has done, my brother and sister. One, because they did it at the beginning with the generations of Noah. How many people after Noah and his family got saved? Not even one. Only A, because of Noah, got saved, my brother and sister. The rest of the million, they all perished. They all died. They were all deceived. They were all contaminated by the Nephilim. My brother and sister, how did they get to contaminate a whole humanity? Well, some states today are vaccinated to 97%. 98-some. So it's heading the same way as the generations of Noah. Why were they not careful during the generations of Noah? Well, why are they not careful today? Why did they listen so, why did they pay so much attention in the generations of Noah and the generations of Lot and did everything these demons told them to do? This is exactly what they're doing today. They're listening to them through CERN. They're following their plan, their advice, their scientific ideas. My brother and sister, it's wicked, it's evil, it's not of God. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. And the same thing they did in the generations of Noah, they are doing today. They are deceiving humanity. The blind leading the blind. And sadly, so many people having a Bible in their home are following the lives of these following master leading. Even leaders that are not put in place by God, in churches by God, they're following them without praying, without seeking the Lord, without asking God, God, is this your message? Is this where you want us to go? My brothers and sisters, this is why prayer is a must. Hallelujah. We all need to have a life of prayer. My brother and sister, day and night, prayer cannot be put off. You don't put off eating. You eat every day, right? Prayer is more important than eating. If you can understand how important prayer is, because when you pray, you invite God into your life. You invite God into your situation. Whatever your situation is, let's say you need a job, you need health, whatever you need. Your families are going through sickness or whatever. You invite God through prayer into that situation. And with God, everything is possible, Jesus said. To God, all things are possible. You invite God into that situation. You are telling God, God, I cannot do this, but I know you can. I'm trusting you that you can. And God will make the difference. God will change things, my brother and sister. And this is why prayer is a must. It always been this way. People have called upon the name of the Lord since Adam, my brother and sister, since Adam and Eve, since their son Seth was born, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. They realized that they've been separated from God for too long. Cain followed after the feet of the fallen one. He went and got himself a wife from the Naphtalian's daughter and began to have children with her. And all the descendants are not even counted as sons of God. Not more than can claim that God gave them children. Not more than can say, this man, this child, this woman is going to be a great woman of God or a great man of God, because they were all wicked. They were all evil. All the descendants of Cain. And today we have a problem with a lot of descendants of Cain. A lot of people think that all the descendants of Cain disappear, and they are wrong. We have today, even in high office, descendant of Cain. How did they go to the high-level office? How do they been in the United States as commander-in-chief for 8 years, a descendant of Cain? How did that happen? My brother and sister, it did not happen before. My brother and sister, is that the people will be lower than self, Peter says in John, and the writing. Hallelujah. And will depart from the truth. My brother and sister. And will follow all winds of doctrines. My brother and sister. And will believe strange flesh. Strange flesh is what the generations of Cain's are. Strange flesh. The midst of fallen angels. Hallelujah. With flesh. And it's called strange flesh. They're very strange, my brother and sister, because the Bible doesn't call them human. Although we see them as human today and we call them human, I call them strange flesh. He has another pretty name for them, wicked. That's another pretty name he has for them, wicked. Evil. The seed of the serpent is another pretty name for them. My brother and sister, the seed of the serpent. But humanity want to be so political correct today that they don't want to call the seed of the serpent strange flesh. They want to call them something else. They want to call them brother and they want to call them sister. my brother and sister. And Jesus said that my brothers and sister are them that do the will of my Father who is in heaven. He didn't call the other people my brother and sister, brothers and sister. He specified that his brothers and sisters are they that do the will of the Father. So the generations of kings don't fall under that words, under that lining. My brother, because they don't do the will of the Father. Actually, Jesus identifying them says, ye are your father the devil. And he's been a liar since the beginning and a father of it. John 8, my brother and sister, amongst the Pharisee and scribe, there was strange flesh among them. My brother and sister, there was only one rabbi out of them that came to meet the Lord. My brother and sister, and his name is Nicodemus. Hallelujah. He was the only rabbi who had the Torah in his hand, the Bible, and was able to identify Jesus, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Of being the true, hallelujah, the true Son of God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus, John 3, the Bible said that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Remember, he called the Pharisees sons of the devil. But there has to be a difference. And Jesus said, by the fruit, you will know them. None of the other Pharisee rabbis had the fruit that Nicodemus had, my brother and sister. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish council. He came to Jesus one night and said unto him, Rabbi, my brother and sister. He called him Rabbi. We know that God has sent you as a teacher. Not by the other rabbis or not the other rabbi identified Jesus as a rabbi, my brother and sister, but he did. No one can perform this miracle you perform unless God is with him. Now, this is going back to Moses, Torah, the Bible, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. This is going back to the books that Moses wrote. These rabbis had to perform this if God was with them. Jesus came back, and the rabbi, they had the same Torah, same teaching of Moses, was supposed to be performing this miracle as them in the beginning were commanded to. My brother and sister, Jesus was fulfilling the law. He was fulfilling the rabbi obligation by healing the sick and the lepers. Remember how God gave the order to the rabbis on how to perform the duty of the rabbi in regard to the lepers? Some of you have probably not read that in the law. Some of you might have to go back and read it. It was an obligation to the rabbis, of the teachers, of the priests. And these priests were not performing this. Immediately, that was a fruit that they should have had if they have been called by God. If they've been chosen by God, if they've been selected by God, they would have to be performing this miracles and signs and wonder, healing among the people. The leper should have been cleansed. Hallelujah. Because this was part of the obligations of the rabbi, of the priest. And these were not doing so, my brother and sister. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, I can guarantee you this truth. No one can see God's kingdom without being born from above. There you go. Being born again. Being born from above. Being born from heaven. Everything in regard to Israel was a miracle, including the heifer, the sacrifice. Remember that they could not find a heifer among their, of all the animals they had, there was not one time they found a heifer for the sacrifice. God will provide himself. This is the word of a hallelujah. Of the father of faith, Abraham. God will provide himself a heifer, a sacrifice. God will provide himself. This is very meaningful among the Jewish people since the beginning. Because if God is with them, as it been from the beginning. Every time, every year they needed a sacrifice for the sin of the people, God has to provide himself a heifer, a red heifer, pure, holy, and without any type of contamination. My brother and sister, God has to provide himself. That's why Abraham says, God has to provide himself. And that's exactly what happened. Every single year, there was a miracle of God in regard to the heifer. It was not that one was born among the cattle. Impossible. Because it's not out of men or out of the will of man, the Bible says. It cannot be from us, my brothers and sisters. It cannot be from us. Hallelujah. Jesus came from Father. It has to be in the same example. Jesus came from Father. The Lamb to be crucified for the world, it has to come from God. As it came to Abraham, where he went to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham turns around after the angel told him not to kill him, and it was Jesus telling him not to kill the boy, not to harm the boy. And he turns around, there's a perfect heifer right there. Unmarked, unscratched, on anything. God provided himself a heifer. Shalom, sister. My brother and sister. And from that on, it has to be the same every year. That's why they can never over-sacrifice. Because God provided one every year. You see? Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I know a lot of people wonder, but brother, what about when Solomon made all these sacrifices to God? You're going to have to ask God in heaven when you get there, my brother and sister, because God provided himself a sacrifice. And it doesn't say that God provided Solomon 1,000 sacrifices. It was something out of his heart that he wanted to sacrifice to God. God probably received it because it was from his heart. It was a gift he was doing. God only needed to provide one every year for the sin of the people. And he did. He's faithful. Nicodemus asked him, how can anyone be born when he's an old man? He can go back inside his mother a second time to be born. Can he? Jesus answered, Nicodemus, I can guarantee you this truth. No one can enter God's kingdom without being born of water and spirit. Praise your Lord. And this has a deeper significance than what a lot of people have thought or seen it for, until now or for many years. My brothers and sisters, because the blood is the blood of Jesus and the water is the, hallelujah, the blood is the blood of Jesus. You need to be born of water and spirit, and the spirit is the Holy Spirit. Okay? He is the water, and he is the spirit. Water being baptized. Holy Spirit is being put into your life. And Jesus said that no one can enter into heaven without it. My brother and sister. Because when the spirit is put into your life, you're born again. He make you new. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Something new has come to you that you didn't have. And you are turned every day as we go, as we walk in the Spirit, we are being changed like Christ, spiritual beings. And we understand more of God's Spirit, more of God who is the Spirit, by walking in the Spirit. That's why when people, hallelujah, put the trust on the flesh, anything on the flesh. When you, hallelujah, glorify the flesh or exalt the flesh instead of the spirit, you're being carnal. You're being carnal. The Bible says that's carnal. To think about the things of the flesh, to be just focused on the flesh is carnal. When you're meditating on the spirit, of the things of the spirit, it's spiritual, heavenly. Bible says, God said he loved heavenly minded people. The Apostle Paul says to look to the Colossians, look for the things above, not of the things of this earth, because you're being heavenly minded when your mind and your heart is in the things above. You can be doing something, anything down here, but you're supposed to be meditating on the things of God, on the things of heaven, the plans of God. You should be talking to Jesus. My brother, sister, he walked with God. That means every day Enoch of his life on earth, if it were 200-300 years of age, every day he talked to God. He was in prayer. He was in union in the spirit. So God, what are we doing today? Where are you taking me today? What is your plan for me for today? What do you want me to talk about today? And you're having that conversation with him. That was Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And God took him. He was seen no more because God took him. My brother and sister. Because that was equivalent to the church walking with Christ. My brother and sister. Jesus, God is going to take his church. Because you're walking with him like Enoch. And you soon will not be seen no more. After these 3 days of darkness, you're going to be here for a short revival. And after that, the Lord showed me, my brothers and sisters, they were going out to heaven in the rapture, departure. They were taking off like eagles from the earth, my brother and sister. And I could see their feet. I could see their feet as they were taking off. Before they take off, they already have the glorified body. And brothers and sisters, I can see them taking off after the revival. They were done. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, to the people, the city, the town that God sent you to minister to, you came back to him and you told him, Lord, I finished what you sent me to do. And the Lord will say, you can go home now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord said, you may go home now. And people are going home to heaven. They knew how to fly. They didn't need to ask the Lord anymore. Their glorified body, all the knowledge and wisdom they needed was in them right away. You didn't need a teacher anymore. You just need to follow the direction of Jesus. And you were taking off and going home. Shalom, Brother David. Just going home to being with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, Jesus answered Nicodemus, I can guarantee you that's true. No one can enter God's kingdom without being born again. Hallelujah. Water in the spirit. Flesh and blood give birth to flesh and blood. And this is why carnality is always related to flesh. And doctor will tell you it's related to blood. Science will tell you it's related to blood. Your family line. The Bible says blood also. Carnality is always related to blood. A spiritual reality is always related to the spirit. Hallelujah. And water. My brother and sister. He will pour more of his spirit. He will put his spirit upon the flesh. After the Holy Spirit was poured on the church in the book of Acts, God kept filling them more. The Bible said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they came in prayer, when they came in union, I believe up here in North Carolina, in Asheville, when we come together, the group are going to come here together, that Jesus showed me back in Massachusetts, about 30 ministers and about 5,000 people here. When we came together, there was such a presence of God that it was all over the city. I remember my wife's sister, the Lord gave her a dream. I've been preaching this already for about 3 or 4 years. And God gave her a dream of this community. And she said that in the church that we were coming together, there was such a strong presence of God that people were lining up early in the morning to come to service. And there was a huge line in the main entrance, and on the side entrance was another huge line, like when people are lining up for food when they're going hungry. Huge line. And she was wondering, why are people lining up for church service? And she said that the presence of God was so powerful inside, people did not want to miss a service at all. I believe that's going to happen. I had a similar revelation from the Lord. His presence was so powerful in the church that we that were there, no one wanted to leave. No one wanted to come out. Because, see, the Lord will come with such a strong presence. And when I tell you strong, it has to be more than it had ever happened in any church. It cannot be any less. It has to be more. Because when the Lord made these promises, my brother and sister, and I've seen part of it already, when I tell you it's more, it has to be more. My brother and sister, when we come together, it will be a surprise for people when they when we get together and they come to service. I know they're going to say they never felt such a strong presence of God in their life. As a believer, as a Christian, most every Christian I know has never felt such a strong presence of God as when we come together in that community. It's going to be power for the glory of God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. My wife sister said it was so powerful. And I said, yes, I know. She shared the dream with me. Praise you, Lord. God gave her the dream to let her see. We're not here by coincidence. We're here by plan of God. And it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I heard the Lord give our sister in line a word. She, the Lord was saying through her, all this year that I've been keeping my children in silence, it's been because I'm working my humility in them. I'm working in their lives. I'm teaching them through waiting on me, humility. Hallelujah. And to learn to appreciate, hallelujah, what I'm working in their life. They'll learn to appreciate it by waiting on me, the Lord said. Totally agree with that. Hallelujah. It's not easy to wait. We human beings, we're not too patient. And the Lord's working his patience on us to wait. Because it's worth the wait. See the difference? It's worth the wait. It's worth it. For the community is not for us. It's for those staying in the great tribulation. We get united. We begin this work. We'll leave. And there will be a lot of people staying behind. Because in the great tribulation, people need to come together, especially up here in the mountain, my brother and sister. There will be a lot of people, hallelujah, who will remember what happened and who will say, you know what? God moved here. We saw a mighty revival. We first saw 3 days of beasts eating people everywhere. Now we saw a mighty revival from God. God has kept us alive so far. We have not been vaccinated. And even many that are vaccinated, their eyes are going to be open. My brother and sister, I said, take that tea that they're drinking. Stay up, my brother and sister. They're going to hear, hallelujah, hear the hear, and they're going to say, I want to be part of that. Praise the Lord. But all that for them is during the great tribulation. The bride is going home for a celebration that is waiting for us. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. It's a mighty hallelujah, celebration awaiting the bride. We've been invited to, my brother and sister, that, hallelujah, we need to be ready for. Because a lot of things from here and on are going to be short. God has said it is the end. And he's not going to be repeating the same word, oh, it is the end, it is the end. No, he said it is the end. And once it said, once Father said it, my brother and sister, it is so, and it has been written. It is written what God has said. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And what he has said, hallelujah, is going to come to pass as he has said it. Praise you, Lord. Because he's not a man that he will lie, nor the Son of Man that he will repent. He has said it. Hallelujah. And now is the time where we're going to see this thing come to pass, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. I'm looking for a verse here Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Where the Lord sent his angel to separate his elect in the last days, my brother and sister. There's a separation that comes, praise the Lord, to separate, hallelujah, his people from those that are staying behind, because we are in the last days. Hallelujah. And in the last days, the Bible says that God will send his angel to separate the elect, my brother and sister. And hallelujah. This will show the world at the end of time, hallelujah, that the great separation is at hand. When the angels of God descend, which are about to descend now, and take, hallelujah, God elect from the earth, my brother and sister. I believe this is close. Hallelujah. In Matthew, praise you, Lord, 13, Matthew 13. 13, yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, let's both grow together until the harvest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Parable is important because this point of the last days, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:24, another parable he put forward, them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who saw a good seed in the field. And while the man slept, his enemy came and saw the tear among the wheat and went his way. Notice how this parable of the wheat and the tear is like reading Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Jesus confirmed here what Moses wrote about the devil in his seed and the woman in his seed by the wheat and the tear. My brother and sister, a lot of people did not realize this, hallelujah, until they heard me talking about this, my brother and sister. They didn't realize this because I have people that write to me about this. Remember, they wrote to me about this. And said, Brother Elby, where is that in the Bible? And I look it up and I share it. But when the blade has sprung up, no, thank you, Lord. While the man slept, his enemy came and saw the tear among the wheat, and he went his way. And when the blade has sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tear also. And so the servant of the household came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow the good seed in the field? From when has that come the tear? And this is the question that many people have. Brother Ellie, we hear you talking about the strange flesh, the seed of the serpent. Where does this come from? Well, if it's in Genesis chapter 3, it has to be in the rest of the Bible. We cannot get a verse in Genesis 3 about the seed of the serpent, and then the whole entire Bible not talk about it. No. It has to be throughout the whole Bible, my brother and sister. The seed of the giants are the seed of the serpent also, because it's all fallen one evil that came together and have children with women as a devil, and that's where the seed comes. The seed of the serpent is Satan, has baby, my brother and sister. Verse 8, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, well, darling, have us go and gather them up? But he said, nay, no. Lest while you gather the tear, you root also the wheat with them. Here's the problem today. If some of the teachers of the Bible online are tares and not wheat, and you tell it to the church like I've been doing it for years, people will rise against me so angry. How can you be judging people? Who do you think you are? I'm bringing the teaching here from the Word of God, my brother and sister. But because some people, hallelujah, call everyone brother and sister, like in Jesus' time they would have called the Pharisee brothers and sisters, or the Pharisee brother, my dear brother. And Jesus said, ye are your father the devil. And when they hear Jesus saying, Lord, Rabbi, are you okay? How can you call our brothers here, the Pharisee, sons of the devil? What's going on, Lord? Are you okay? Are you having a good day? You see, so this is what we have today. A lot of people who, when you bring these teachings, are not ready to hear these teachings. It chased their beings, their livelihood. My brother and sister, they're shaken up. How can you say this, Brother Elvie? I'm not listening to you tonight. I'll be back another day. Looks like you're having a bad day. Was Jesus having a bad day when he called the Pharisees, hallelujahs, of their father the devil? No. It's the truth. He's bringing darkness to light. It is the truth. He's showing it what's happening, the root of the problem. Why is today, as people say, religion so confusing and so divisive? Why is there so much division today, people say? God separated in the beginning of life from darkness. But people are saying, no, we're all brothers and sisters. Let's just come. Let's all do this together. Let's worship together. And they have brought us the seed of the serpent into the church. And they say, let's worship together. What's the problem? Well, brothers and sisters, look. Give them a hug. Got to love one another. Huh? We got to love one another. Let's worship together. Come on, let's pray together. Let's fast together. You're inviting the sea serpent, the seed of the serpent, to worship with you, to fast with you, to pray with you, to fellowship with you. And then when you give a Bible to that man or that woman and they come on the pulpit and they share the word, what comes out of them? You know what comes out of them? What's in their heart. The wickedness and evil hitting in their heart. Hallelujah. Because an evil fruit, my brother and sister, an evil tree cannot give you good fruit. And you're asking evil to give you good. You're calling evil my brother and my sister. And unless you get with the Lord for discernment to help you understand why is this way, that you have to be careful. Hallelujah. That he's sending you amongst wolves. And you got to be careful because they want to devour you. Wolves like to eat the sheep. You are the sheep. They want to eat you alive, my brother and sister. And a lot of people don't know this, can't discern these things. You got to get with God until you're able to. The simple, Proverbs chapter 1, must obtain wisdom. Hallelujah. That's the beginning of Proverbs. Read Proverbs chapter 1. Actually, let me read a little bit to you. Why did God say this? Because if you're not able to discern good from evil, my Lord, my God, they're going to eat you. Father Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive instruction and wisdom in justice, in judgment, in equity. These all are perverted on the earth today. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity are perverted today in our court system, my brother and sister. So that's why people say, it's okay, Brother Elvie, because they're perverted. Perversion has nothing to do with these things. And God, they're pure. To give thoroughly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase his learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand proverb and in interpretation, the word of the wise and the dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Get with the Lord. Get with the Lord in repenting and fasting and seeking him. But the fool despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, I don't need that. No, thank you. But my brother, no, that's okay. I don't need it. No, I'm fine. But listen, God said, no, I'm okay. That's for you. That's not for me. I had someone say this to me. who went to church for me years ago. And I didn't understand why he would behave the way he behaved. To me, he was a brother in the church. Until one day, the Lord took me in the spirit. And this man that I saw in the flesh, in the spirit, he was a demon. A human in the flesh, in the spirit, a demon. Huh? But that's brother so-and-so. And then he was talking to me there as a demon. Huh? A human, a demon. A human, a demon. What's going on here? I was in the beginning. My brother and sister, the Lord had begun to show me these things. And it was making me sick. Because you don't want to reject people. You want to love everybody. Love thy enemy. Pray for them that persecute you. Amen. But a human in the flesh, as I see with my natural eye, in the spirit I see, a demon. Wow. Wow. And then I understood his fruit. Because Jesus said, by his fruit, by the fruit, you will know them. My brothers and sisters, by the fruit, you will know them. A woman of God dresses for God. A man of God dresses for God. They don't want to be a tool of the enemy on any man or anybody. They're careful. But when it's not of God, they don't care. They behave like they don't care. Even in church, they dress like they don't care who they think, who they make fall, because they're not of God. By the fruit, you will know them. How they dress, how they prepare themselves to tempt men and make them fall. When it's the feet of the devil, she don't care. She'll make men fall. She don't care. She'll make other sisters fall. I remember sharing this on the Lord's Hour years ago with that sister, and I believe it was in Indiana, Idaho, who were listening to me, who this brother came into her church Bible study, and she was single, and he liked her, and he just came there first time, and he got her number, and they began talking, and within 3 months, he wanted to marry her. And she heard me saying this on the Lord's Hour, and she got very nervous. She knew that what I was teaching was of the Lord, because she had a dream from the Lord. And she heard the Lord say to her not to marry this man, because she was already listening to the Lord's Hour. And she had begun to pray and fast and seek the Lord to teach her, to guide her. And the Lord would speak to her, spend a lot of time reading the Bible. And she knew that this young man, there was something wrong with him. Could not put her finger on what it was, but his language was different. He was most earthly than heavenly. He would only talk about God when it's inconvenient to him, to try to get her attention. My brother and sister, and everything she described about him, it sounds to me like the seed of the serpent. My brother and sister. But he will always have an excuse for it, getting angry easily, and so much more. And she's forgotten what the Lord has shown her and what I was teaching here in the Lord Tower, and decided to marry him quickly in 3 months. And the first week of the marriage, he gave her a beating. And she thought that the first time he was getting out of control, or she made her mad. Now she was blaming it on herself. Or he made her sound like it was her fault that this is why he hit her, because it was her fault. She made him angry. My brother and sister. And the second time came another beating. My brother and sister. And it was thing for simple thing. Now he just wanted to keep her at home, like enslaved. He didn't want her to go out. not even go out to the store. If he will be working, she has to stay home, and she will not dare to go out the door. He wanted her home, and that's it. Cannot go to the store, nothing. And she began to get afraid of this man. My brother and sister, by the third beating, she emailed me. And I said, sister, okay, because when people write to me, the first thing I said is go to the Lord, pray, fast, seek the Lord. But no woman should be beat so much like she was. And now I do something about it, even call the police. My brother and sister, there are numbers women can call when they're being abused by men. And what he was doing was too much already. My brother and sister, beating her to the level where she would be sitting in bed and not being able to move for hours because of the pain. Okay, broken mouth, bleeding mouth. It was too much, my brother and sister. Until she, when she could grab all her clothing and ran, she didn't care where she was running. She knew that if she would go to family, he would follow her there. She took her clothing and left without telling him where, my brother and sister. Because she said, my brother Elvie, in the next beating, I would have been there. He would have killed me. And she described how bad she was. I said, wow, terrible. But this is what she had to say about this teaching. He said, Brother Elvie, what you were sharing on the Lord's Hour, the words of life and death. And I wish I would have listened to you, Brother Elvie. Because you began teaching about the serpent seed and the seed of the woman. And that by the fruit you will know them. When you were teaching this, I was not too sure in the beginning. I kept reading my Bible and praying. And then the Lord gave me a dream. And said to me not to marry him when we were dating. And I didn't listen. I got myself in that trouble, she said. He is truly a seed of the serpent, Brother Elvie. Because a son of God will not behave this way. And much more she had to say about him. My brother and sister, you got to take this serious and pray. I'm giving you verses. I'm not reading from my own journal, my own idea, my own conclusion. I'm giving you Bible verses. This word will save your life. God will keep you. As long as you listen to him, he will keep you. He will protect you. My brother and sister, you don't know how many times I read verses about this. My brother and sister, the advice of God through Solomon, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God says in Proverbs 3:14, hallelujah, 13, hold fast to the instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not unless they have done mischief. And they sleep is taken away unless they... And their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. They're looking to see who they make fall. This man, when he was working, she said, will not allow her to go to church anymore with the sisters. It was in church she met him. Oh, you cannot go to church tonight because I'm going to be working late. Better stay home. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Are you listening? This man was violent with her. This is what they eat, the Bible says. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. That's what this is what this man drank. Hallelujah. My Lord. Verse 19. The way that the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. My son, attend to my word. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Let not them depart from thine eye. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and help unto all their flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have to see through the eyes of the Lord anyone out there, anyone and everything, through his eyes, through his wisdom, through his understanding. You need to see, my brother and sister, hallelujah, because he will keep you. He will protect you. His force 22, his own iniquity shall entrap the wicked himself, and he shall be held by the cord of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go straight. This is the way they are going to live and walk and behave. Hallelujah. And they're not going to care for you, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. A vile person, a wicked man, walk with froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his finger. Frowardness is in his heart. He despises mischief continuously. He soweth this discord. If she were to argue that she wanted to be together in church with the brothers and say, oh, why you want to get together with those people? Those people are this, this, and that. They sow discord, mischief. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. The Lord, his wisdom will keep us. Hallelujah. From all this. 24, to keep thee from evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of strange woman. Notice that he speak about this woman twice. He says woman, and then strange. As it says, strange flesh, strange woman. Read it right there in the King James. Strange flesh. He referred to her as woman again, strange. That's the daughter of a fallen one, strange flesh. God will keep you from a strange fallen one, strange flesh that will come to you. She might be the most beautiful woman you ever saw. But if you're trusting in the Lord, God will keep you from her. Because she will be flattering to you. She'll come to you. And if you focus only on the beauty, she'll make you fall. Listen, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Are you listening? Oh, they can be beautiful. They can be the most beautiful woman you ever saw. Seed of the serpent. Lust not to her beauty in thy heart. Neither let her take thee where her eyelids. Eyelids. They make sure their eyelids are attractive, my brother and sister, and destructive too. And follow destruction too. My brother and sister. For by means of word whoring, women and men are brought down to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Look whom they prefer. The precious life is the life that God gives. The Christians. She wants a Christian man. A man of God. She's after a man of God. My brother insisted. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on his coat and his feet not be burned? So he that goes into the neighbor's wife, whosoever touch her, should not be innocent. my brother and sister. And again, all this follow one another. Okay? Even when she's married to someone, she's not faithful to that someone. My brother and sister, they're not faithful. They are not faithful. I could describe more a revelation and testimony, but I don't want to go there because a lot of it is too strong for some of you. Man does not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. John 10:10, the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. She is identified as a thief. She's not the devil. She's a seed of the devil. My brother and sister. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the sustenance of his house. The sevenfold is equal to God punishing you for committing adultery with her. And the consequence will not be erased. God will forgive you, but it will not be erased, as in another proverb. My brother and sister, it will be very painful for the man or for the woman, either way, when this happens, especially with strange flesh. They will cause you many stripes, Proverbs says, and much pain. Okay? This is why you don't marry anyone the Lord has not led you to marry, or have not confirmed to you to marry, and not say to you, yes, you may marry him or marry her. You have to make sure you are being led by the Lord on this. I just heard the Lord say yes. Thank you, Lord. You need to make sure the Lord is leading you on this. Because if you do, oh, my Lord, my God, the pain, the suffering. Again, a woman of God will not cause you this pain and suffering. Or a man of God won't do that. My brother and sister. But when it's the seed of the serpent, they will. Any day at the time, any hour, they cause you this pain, this hurting. But those committed adultery with a woman lack understanding, he that does it destroy his own soul. Look at this. And destroy his own soul. My brother and sister. And destroy his own soul. It's difficult to come out of there. Very difficult. And we have a sample of people who were told my Lord help me. I don't want to say anything that I'm not supposed to say. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. But even if your partner gets it by sin, you have to seek the Lord about it. My brother and sister, because one will be taken and the other one will be left. My brother and sister, it's not going to be easy. The days to come, there's much pain coming, but the Lord is greater to help us, to heal us, to restore us. This is what he does every day with us, because there's a lot of things happening here, but we must seek obedience with him. Seeking obedience. Remember that we prefer to do sacrifice. If I'm going to fast every day, I'm willing to do so. But in obedience, we fail him, my brother and sister. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I say this because we must be careful. We must seek to be obedient. And yes, they're fasting and obedient. Don't disregard, yes. God wants us to fast, we need to fast. But obedience is important more than the sacrifice to God. My brother and sister. A wound in dishonor shall he get. A reproach shall not be wiped away. My brother and sister. Great minister in the past, when they had committed adultery, the congregation had not forgiven them. They have not been able to go back and be pastor again, be minister to them again. They have rejected them, my brother and sister. Although when they repent, God will forgive them and God can heal them and restore them, the congregation has said, no, no. My brother and sister, there's a lot of unforgiving people. And God wants to, God forgive us and God wants us to forgive others. Verse 34, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Will not spare, my brother and sister. And this is so true. This is so true. In the day of vengeance, and these days of vengeance that we're in the last days, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness going on. You can see that already. These are the days of vengeance of the Lord that we're in. Now, I said to the people, you know how you're going to know how much seed of the serpent we have on this earth? Okay? You may not believe me the number if I tell you a number. You may not believe me. That's okay. I have no problem with it. That's okay. But you're going to see a number after the 3 days of darkness pass. Okay? You're going to see the earth practically empty. And you're going to say, what? What happened to all the people? How did all these beasts ate all these people? Well, they're coming to cleanse the earth. They're coming to eat the wicked, the seed of the serpent. And when the 3 days of darkness pass, some of you are going to put your hand on your head and say, oh, my Lord, there were so many millions and billions. What happened in 3 days? Where did these people go? And if you dare look to your window and see the beast eating there, you say, huh? My brother and sister, don't worry, we're close to the 3 days of darkness. The good thing I want to know is I want to see the sign before it happens so I don't send my children to school. That's what I'm praying for every day now. So it's very important that we know, my brother and sister. Because when the 3 days of darkness pass, there is going to be a lot of peace on the earth like people have not seen. It's going to be different. The earth is going to be different. And people will have a lot of questions. You know, like people have a lot of questions now, but when the 3 days of darkness pass, some people may write to me and say, Brother Evie, you had an idea this was this way, that there was so much seed of the serpent on this earth? Wow. There's so many empty buildings and houses. Now, where are all these people? In 3 days, these be ate all those people? Well, were they? God said he will cleanse the earth from the wicked. And this is the way he's going to do it, my brother and sister. That's why I began to you reading Jeremiah chapter 5. When you have time, read that entire chapter, Jeremiah chapter 5, and see. Because that's the same that's going to happen in our time. My brother and sister, these animals are going to eat all these people. My brother and sister, a cleansing must come. A cleansing must come. Okay? In Lamentation 3:10, he is like a bear waiting to ambush me, like a lion hiding. Look what Jeremiah said about the Lord. My brother and sister, because in the video that I just put up today on YouTube, some of you, I don't know if you've seen it, I have the bear there. I also have the eagle there. He is like a bear waiting to ambush me. That's what I said, the bear ambushing people, like a lion hiding. And the lion was hiding and surprising people to eat them during the 3 days of darkness. My brother and sister, I wanted to come and look up those verses and share them with you. Daniel 3:5, and I saw a second animal look like a bear, and it raised on one side, it had three ribs and a mouth between his teeth, and it was told to get up and eat as much as he wanted. God told this bear, eat as much as you want. And because they are spiritual beings, they can move real quickly in second. They're going to start eating as much as they want. My brother and sister, real quickly in the street, on the highway, on the road, on the houses, jumping on the car, breaking through the windshield, eat as much as they want in those 3 days, my brother and sister. Okay, so you can be in your car, and if the person is not ready with God, the animal is going to break through it and eat them. I saw a woman in her house, and the animal jumped right through the window and grabbed her right in her house, and it was biting her, taking her apart in her house. Don't matter what people are. You have to have the protection of the Lord. Okay? The Lord is a shield and a bunker to them that fear him. He will be a shield against these animals. But you have to be in repenting and seeking the Lord. There's no other way. People think there are, no, there's no other way, my brothers and sisters. And Revelation 13:2, the beast that I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like the bare feet. His mouth was like a lion mouth. The serpent gave power and kingdom of fighters, reaching an authority to the beast. Huh. They're going to be eating, devouring people in 3 nights. They can move so fast within seconds, here, there, within seconds. City thousands of miles away, within seconds, they can move so fast that they only need 3 days and 3 nights to eat all the wicked and evil of the earth. That's all they need. Over 7 billion people, and the amount, I don't know the exact amount, my brothers and sisters, I will say over 67% are at the seat of the serpent. And they're going to go around and second and eat so many of them quickly. And when people see them, I don't know if we're going to have a billion people left. I don't know. I just don't, you know. That's why I don't want to put out a number because, you know, what happened if it's 1.5 billion and people say, oh, you said 1 billion. What happened? It's 1.5 billion people left. It's the mercy of the Lord on people. Out of 7.5 billion people, you're going to say 1.5 billion is too much people? No. God would have mercy on whom he will have mercy. But those that will remain, though, those is that Jesus is sending us in the revival. So show revival. So we're also going to quickly move in the power of God and second from here to a different city around the earth, preaching to whatever's left. Don't be surprised when you hardly see anyone, but then go out to the one you see, because God, if God kept those alive that are not saved, and then you know that God wants to save those. Whoever is alive for the 3 days of darkness after the church gets changed, that means we need to evangelize them. We need to lead them to the Lord. And God knows they're going to repent. Especially having 3 nights of headaches and pain and fear and scared to the being. Hallelujah. They're going to be just done on the earth. That you can be sure of. When he's done with them in those 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister, they're going to wish they never been born. And I tell you that. They're going to wish they never been born in a human body. Because they're going to be eaten by the beast. And the beast will have the order to do this. And it's going to be done quickly. Quickly. My brother and sister. So Jesus said, let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, go gather your ye together for the tear. Bind them in a bundle to burn them. But gather the wheat into the barn. Okay? Gathered then, Jesus said, to burn them. You notice the plan he has for them? My brother and sister, the plan that God has for the end time for this wicked one, the seed of the serpent, finish them, and they'll be finished. My brother and sisters, God's not playing around. People think God's playing around. He's being merciful, but people think God is playing around. And they're going to have an awakening in the 3 days of darkness that are about to come. They're going to have a rude awakening. Everything we've been saying here in the Lord Jehovah is going to come to light to them and say, wow, brother, you were right. This is life or death, my brother and sister. There is a battle for every soul. Every soul is a battle for it. And people that have been taking this gospel lightly, that are not repenting sincerely as they should, their eyes are going to be open. They're going to see the mercy of the Lord by God keeping in the 3 days of darkness for repentance. And if they're not ready for the departure, they're staying behind. But they're going to stay behind with great memory on them. Great memory of 3 days of darkness and a revival that they could have been part of. God's not playing around. Bible said God will not be mocked. And humanity been mocking God for too many years already. They've been mocking God, and they don't understand the consequence of it. It's a great consequence, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. So bind them and throw them into the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no, hallelujah, going back with this. No going back. It's only going forward. That's why every minute lost is lost. Time is short. And whatever time is being allowed for all these things to come to pass and unfold, and for people to get ready and have the understanding of what is coming, be ready and being prepared for it. They are not prepared for Jesus. They are prepared for the beast that are coming, the 3 days of darkness. See? The tare and the wheat group together as it is today. And you cannot even pull out the tare because you will damage the wheat. And the Lord said, no. Don't touch them. Don't do anything. Silence, sister. Let them grow together. Okay? Until the harvest. Well, this is the time of the harvest that you and I are in, late night hour, my brother and sister. This is the time of the harvest. Now it is. Whoever makes it through 3 days of darkness is wheat. Whoever doesn't make it and the beast eat them is tear. A lot of people don't realize that they need to be ready for the 3 days of darkness, not to be eaten by the beast. You don't have the protection of the Lord, my God. Oh, man. The beasts are coming hungry. And they're going to eat, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. They're going to eat. They're coming hungry to eat. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Very important. We're ready with the Lord. Ready with him. Repenting. Seeking him. Hallelujah. Calling upon his mercy every day. Asking the Lord to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to be with us. To help us be holy, help us be righteous, to help us keep his commandment. See, some people want to do it themselves. The Lord wants you to call upon him. That's why he told his disciple in John 15:4, without me, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. You try, and you fall. You ask Jesus to help you, and when he helps you, with God, all things are possible. Then you begin to hallelujah, do what God is calling you to do. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. This is the time that God is calling people to repentance with all of their heart before it's too late. Now, whatever is not right with you and God now, God wants you to be in repentance now, calling upon his name. Say, Lord, help me. Like Peter, Lord, help me, or I will drown. Peter walked by faith over the water. Saw when things got a little shaky, a little windy, and began to drown. I had someone say one time, but if Peter was a fisherman, he was a great swimmer. And then why is he crying out to Jesus, Lord, save me that I would drown, if he was a great swimmer? He forgot to swim at that moment. Huh? Well, sometimes don't we go through testing once again that we've gone through before and we passed, and this time we feel like drowning, like dying? Huh? The Lord had healed me from many cold and many diseases, many infirmities. The moment I felt that in my body, allergy and all that, the Lord has healed me. And this past week, I got an allergy. I'm like, wow, this is really difficult. you know, and you're wandering. And sometimes we get the medication. And after you take the medication and you try it a couple of times, then you're like, oh, what did I take the medication for? All I got to do is pray. Then you're like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have prayed first. And then, so when we feel something, a headache or something, you want to take a Tylenol. So it's normal down here. But then you're like, I should have rebuked it. I should have cast it out. What was I thinking? So this is a daily struggle for everyone, my brother and sister. But see, the more we exercise our faith, the better it is for us. Instead of running to the pills, run to the Lord first and rebuke the sickness and pray for the healing. And that will help your faith to grow and mature in the Lord. You have a great faith, so when any sickness comes, you can rebuke it out of you. You can pray for your healing. You get your healing. You pray for other people. They get the healing. We got to practice a faith. But it's so easy to just get a Tylenol, you know, that we forget we need to be practicing our faith every day. We need to be practicing our faith, my brother and sister, and forget about the pill. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, listen to this. 2 Peter 2 says, God condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed them with burning them to ashes. He made those cities as an example to ungodly people, what is going to happen to them. Now, here's a more modern translation. God made Sodom and Gomorrah a city for an example for the people that are not of God, the seed of the serpent, to make an example of them. How do you like that? Make an example that these are ungodly. They're not of God, my brother and sister. They're not of the seed of the woman. Okay? And God wanted to show or give us an example that these people that are not of the seed of the woman, what he did to them in the times of Noah, or Lot, I'm sorry, was going to happen to them again. But at the end, my brother and sister, at the end, he wanted to show this example, okay, of the ungodly, okay, which can be seen without God or not of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking through a different translation just to give you an idea on what they refer as the ungodly, my brother and sister. He made them as an example. Hallelujah. Because ungodly, they were not of God. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking to see what other Bible gives you evil, an example to them that would to do an evil. Okay? Doing evil, this translation say. Praise you, Lord. And the rest keep saying of ungodly, not of God. Not of God. Because what is recognized to be of God are the seed of the woman, my brother and sister. This is how it would have been kept. And another word is godless, less, my brother and sister. Now, to give you a good example, I'm going back to Genesis to show you, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, about Cain. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, after the Bible says, I'm going to read from 23, if we go back a little way, we read about the descendant of Cain. Cain went away out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, to the east of the Eden. Cain knew his wife, conceived by Enoch, built a city called the name of the city in the name of his son. My brother and sister, you see why the Lord has to reveal this to us, okay? Because the true translation, I'm godly, is not of God, not of the seed of the serpent. Because there were two seed in Genesis that was pointed to, my brother and sister. Someone tried to make an argument of this at one time, requesting more information from me in regard to this. And I said, all right, let's go to Genesis, okay? And let's see what you understand by this, my brother and sister. Genesis 3:15, and I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, okay, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise her feet, which has another explanation. But specifically, I said to the person, when God said the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, what is he referring to? Can you get back to me on that? I said to this person. Because this person was emailing me like, how can you say that? You know, seed of the serpent, what do you get? You're teaching. And I said, well, let's go to Genesis 3:15. Okay? Between the seed of the woman, between the seed of her seed. And I said, look, this the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Okay, two seed. We're talking about two seed there. Okay, and I said to this person, what do you say to this? What do you understand by this? Oh, I'm sure it has an explanation. Yeah, go ahead, explain it to me. Okay, now, and then now, look at this. I'm looking into the Word of God Bible now, a more modern translation, 15. I will make you and the woman hostile to each other. I will make your descendant, serpent, and her descendant hostile to each other. He will crush your head, and you will crush his heel. Right? More modern translation, it tells you that you see there. Descendants. Okay? Now, we got another really good Bible that I like a lot. My brother insisted, which is a complete Jewish Bible. Let's go there also. Okay, I will put in an animosity between you and the woman, animosity, and between you, your descendant and her descendant, he will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. Okay? So there you go, my brother insisted. Juicy. The seed of the woman is the one identified that are the son of God. Now, when you go to Genesis 4, which I said, let's read, okay, after God dealt with Cain and Cain went and found his wife, then on this more complete Jewish Bible, Adam again has sexual relationship with his wife, and she gave birth to a son whom the name Seth. Shall grant it, for God had granted me another seed in place of Abel. Cain killed him. To Seth was born a son whom he called Enosh. And this is when the people began to call upon the name of Adonai. My brother and sister, upon the King James, they began to call upon the name of God. The generations of Cain, they didn't care about God and calling God and praying to God and seeking God, because these are not of God. They're godless, ungodly people. The Bible says that God is going to condemn the ungodly, throwing hell the ungodly, throw them in the fire the ungodly, 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 all throughout the New Testament. These are the seed of Cain, from the beginning, identified as the ungodly, the seed of the serpent, my brother and sister. Very well identified in the Bible. Very clear identified. If you pray, you seek the Lord, you seek for guidance, you seek for understanding, God will show you this very clear. If for some reason you don't see it clear, you need to pray You need to fast. You need to seek the Lord. It is the only way. I had a brother who said, Brother Elby, I cannot understand it. I hear you, but it's like I hear you from far. And he says, at one time, he knew the Lord was speaking to him, and he could hear the voice of the Lord very far. And I understood where he was. Okay? And I said, Brother, you need to humble yourself. You need to fast and pray. How many days, Brother Elby? Go into fasting with the Lord for at least 3 days. No food and no water. And don't read any books. So this is another problem. People like to read books that have false teaching and then confusion. Just read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you just want to read the King James, read the King James. But read the Bible only. Forget about reading any book while you're fasting and pray. And ask the Lord to set you free through it, to remove from you all the false teaching, all the lies, everything that is not of His in the 3-day fasting. And I assure you that your mind is going to come so clear. Repent from it, though. You need to repent. Because when you listen to false teaching and it clouds your mind, it's your fault. God holds you responsible. So you need to repent for listening to false teaching as a believer. And he was a believer for many years. You need to repent for it and fast and pray and ask the Lord to remove this. And while you do this, I assure you he'll start removing this. And he'll have you see his word clear and understand it clear. He says, by the third day, God spoke to him on the third day. He heard God much clearer now. He could hear God much clearer when he spoke to him. He said, Brother Elby, God is leading me to continue on my fasting. I said, go ahead. He writes to me in the fasting telling me, God is leading him to do more than 3 days. Go ahead. My brother and sister. And he continued his fasting for 7 days. But by the fifth day, he can hear the voice of God so clear. After repenting for all that false teaching and asking God to remove it, he cried like a baby on the floor. Remove this false teaching from me. Please, and just read the Bible a lot. Read the Bible. Spend the time. This time that you take for doing it with God, it has to be either a vacation from your work or a day that you choose from your husband, your wife, you let them know. Agree with your wife. His wife and him were in arguing and all that. They were not getting along, sleeping separate room already. I said, just don't let her know that you're going to be doing this fasting. And God did restore his marriage through it too. But the miracle, my brother and sister, was that he began to understand all the false teaching he had in him. Listening to all these preachers on television, he was full of all the, he felt that all that stuff coming out of him like dirt. You know, when you have a bucket full of dirt, yellow mud, yellow dirt, that's how a lot of people have false teaching on their lives. And that's why when you give on something, they don't get it. They don't understand it. It's because of the false teaching they have. And they need to go into deep fasting. No food, no water. This is a different fasting. Because some people fast for water. Okay, that's fine. It's good. But when something is required, like an emergency, when you are taken to emergency and you're bleeding out, at that moment, the doctors, they're rushing. They try to get everything they can into your body to save your life. It's not like before. Oh, no, let him have lunch. Let him sit and have lunch. No, forget about having lunch. Nurse, put an IV on this person. Let's set him. Let's get him ready. Because we're taking this person to surgery right away. Everything is urgent. But that's how a lot of people are today in the false teaching. They need an urgency in deliverance. They need to urgency repent. They need urgency fasting. My brother and sister, that's what they need right now. They don't need to. No, they need urgency. Not to be passive and, oh, I'll wait, you know, I'll take it easy. No, it's an urgent care this person needs. And you see several doctors, the person helping, the assistant, the nurse assistant, and they're all trying to save this person's life. Why? Because it's an urgent situation. That's how people are with false teaching on their life today. They need urgent care. They need to stop everything they're doing and go into 3, 4-day, even 7-day fasting no food, no water, crying out to God and reading just the Bible. And watch how all that physician began to leave. And this man was telling me, I've gone through that experience myself, my own personal life, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. And all that physician leaves you. The good thing it was Jesus who told me I needed to be in fasting and repenting because I had a lot of false teaching on me. And when he told me this, I was like, stunned, like some of you listening. What? I had a lot of false teaching on me, Jesus said. Needed to repent and confess and fasting. Okay, Lord. And I began to fast. It was one of these fasting where I had to drop everything. I mean, I had services where I would go and pray for people, for healing and things like that. The Lord wanted me to drop everything. I was not in condition to minister to nobody. Because when you yourself are confused, and someone say, you don't know which way is up. And you got so much false teaching in you, you're not sure of anything. Everything is cloudy. When you're in that condition, you need emergency care from God. So you need to really get into fasting and prayer and stop everything. This is when you ask for days from your work off or vacation, however you want to ask for them, and say to your boss, I'm going to be 3-4 days out. Please don't call me. I'm going to have urgent care, and I need to be taken care. And your God will take care of you on those days. Make sure you pray and fast before you go into it, and do it, and watch what happens. You'll be a changed person. I've seen people change this way tremendously. I was changed. I was set free from so much false teaching. I was stunned. The Lord began to show me. He even took me in the spirit to the church on the day that there was a person, a teacher teaching the word, and everything he was teaching was false from the word of God. Twisting the word, adding to the word, all kinds of things. And I was sitting there listening, thinking I'm learning. But Lord said, you were receiving that false teaching. You're responsible for it. Wow. So a lot of people find themselves today in the same situation that I found myself. And the Lord wanted to set me free, but I had to listen to him. He's always right. He is always right. We're the one that make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. So everything he was about to teach me now after that, my brother, it changed my life. It was like I was speaking a new language, different. I could see everything different. I can understand everything. I can hear things much clearer. My brother and sister, he started taking me to heaven, speak with redeemed in heaven. My brother and sister, everything was different. I can see things better, much clearer. I can read the Bible now and understand it much better, much clearer also. It's different. A lot of people are not there because of the false teaching. This earth, especially in this country on television, is filled with false teaching. These preachers go there, they want money, they want to raise money. And there's nothing better for them than to use the Bible to get money from people. I heard the testimony of this brother up north, this preacher, who wanted money and figured out that if he preached a message to ask money for the poor from people and gathered churches and leaders and people, he for himself would have gotten a lot of money where he would live like a rich life. And he did. What the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good, I tell you, because there was this man there, a drug dealer. And he gave him a bag of money. I think it was $250,000 he gave him, cash. Then this man said, give all the money you have unto the Lord for the poor. And God will change your life. Give your life to the Lord, he also said. And the man gave all that money because he was giving it to God, but he gave his life to the Lord, believing. Okay, whether the man was of God or not, he didn't care. Because he was calling people to give their life to Jesus. And then a couple there, they had $10,000 to go on vacation. Also decided, because he said, the poor are going to need that money, and I'm going to bring it to them. And I need you to donate that money, even if you have money to save up for vacation. And the wife said to the husband, hon, you know, we want to take this vacation, but you know what? Let's just give it. God will provide. And the husband looked at her like, honey, but we worked so hard to save this $10,000 for vacation. It's the only money we have. Well, let's give it. We'll just, you know, we'll probably say a little bit more and just take this. I don't know if it was for Hawaii, vacation to Hawaii they were planning. We'll just get maybe a local trip to Florida. We'll get a hotel in Florida and we'll stay there, you know, and that'll be our vacation. After they gave the money, because the husband said, honey, are you sure? Yeah, they gave the money and they were having a conversation. We'll get a hotel in Florida and, you know, we'll try to get a nice one and, you know, we don't have much. And then, you know, a few days and then we'll come back home. And they went to Florida. They gave all the money. The preacher collected all the thousands of dollars and left. Okay. And the hotel they were staying in Florida, the woman, I remember why she went to get out. She went out of her room in the hotel and saw the preacher on the hallway and said, preacher, aren't you so-and-so? Yes, I am. Aren't you supposed to be taking the money to the, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we gave you even our vacation money and you were lying to us. And she had an argument with the preacher and, you know, but the preacher said, well, you gave the money. I didn't force you. I asked for the money and you gave it. So he was lying. The short story is he was lying and was taking the money from the people, my brother and sister. And I remember that the preacher said, the drug dealer that gave his life to the Lord, that later on, year passed, and God changed his life. He kept committing his life to the Lord. He says, I don't care if that man was of God or not, but I gave my life to the Lord. And when I looked, I didn't look to the preacher that day. I looked to the Lord. Because, hallelujah, he saved me, my brother and sister. But a lot of those people lost their money, their savings. And this preacher got so much money out of them that just a drug dealer gave him $250,000 cash, my brother and sister. And then they find out he was lying, and so people wanted to take him to court. But they didn't have much information about him. They just know he got all the pastors and leaders together to do this, my brother and sister. And a lot of people believe it because he wanted to save that drug dealer. He wanted to save those men. And now they were serving God, even though the preacher God would judge them later on. My brother and sister, you cannot say amen to everyone that comes on the pulpit, anyone that are preaching the Bible. My brother and sister, because a lot of people there don't care. They're preaching to make money. And when it's like this, they're giving you false teaching. They don't tell you, they're not leading you into repentance and relationship with the Lord. None of that is part of the topics. Usually the topic says how you're going to have a better life, a better car, better house, better this, better that, better future. Everything they focus is about you having better things later on. But right now, you need to give them all your saving, is what they say. Or send $1,000 donation, $5,000 donation. And they get people in that movement of what they know they need, but don't care what you have to do to get the money or what you're sending is the last saving that you have. That it's going to take you another year to save another $5,000, like those brothers, another $10,000. A whole year to save that money. Him and his wife working together hard. It's extra overtime to save the money. After paying their bills and they're giving the tithes and offering to the church. Difficult and hard for them. And this preacher was taking advantage of them, my brother and sister. It's sad that things like this happen. But God can lead you. If you're following the Lord can teach you to discern these things. Discern when something or someone is not sent by God. I remember years ago before they invited someone to the church, they went into the prayer closet and they'll say, Lord, please lead me and shall I invite this person, yes or no? And the Lord will say, no, my son, do not invite him or her because they're not mine. Invite so-and-so, my other humble servant. Okay, Lord, thank you. And they will come out and say it to the congregation. The Lord said, not these people, they're not his. Oh, but they have written so many books and videos and back then video cassettes and books. And well, how can you say, Pastor? Well, that's what I heard the Lord saying. That's what I heard the Lord saying. Okay. You know, and they didn't care what people had to say. These pastors were committed to the Lord. And we're seeking the leading of the Lord. Now and then, all that is forgotten. If people have written a book that became popular, first seller, they're on television everywhere. And they have not gone to the root. They have not asked the Lord whether he or she or his. No, they want to listen to them. Oh, it's a great book. It's a great this. It's a great story in him. And they don't hear from God. They don't seek what God is saying. And this is the great dangers of the last days. Because then you got several number one seller books that are not of God, that people love so much, full of false teaching, misguiding, misleading, confusing. And instead of people having hope and faith in the Lord, they can't wait until they get their next book. They're not praying. They're not fasting anymore. And whatever the government offers them as a vaccine, they're willing to take it because they're not seeking the Lord. Why? That it made it easy for the enemy, the fallen one, to put out vaccine to the government available in the last days because the enemy can see people not praying, not fasting, not in the Word, not truly seeking the Lord, not hearing from the Lord. So the enemy, that's a feast. That's a celebration in hell. When they see people not seeking God. My brother, because people perish. My people perish for lack of knowledge, God says. My brother and sister. And that's the most dangerous. The enemy takes advantage of that. He takes advantage. Because if you're not asking the Lord, which way, Lord? Which way, Lord? Right or left, Lord? Should I stay put, Lord? Elisha, when he was being led by God, he stayed put by the river. And the raven was bringing him meat. Elisha did not move until he heard the voice of the Lord go to the house of the widow. He did not move. He stayed put there. If a fanatic from today saw Elisha next to the river, Elisha, what's wrong with you? Why do I always see you there sitting by the river, meditating on the word of God? Elisha, that coolness from that water can make you sick, man of God. What's going on with you? Look, go to the town and ask someone to let you stay there somewhere, Elisha. Why? Elisha will say, no, wait a minute. God told me to stay here. This is where he wants me. I'm waiting for God to tell me where that he wants me to go next. I am not moving. But Elisha, that's not logical, man of God, that's not logical. What happens if it rains and the river gets flooded? Elisha, you'll be killed by the water. Listen, God told me to stay by this river. It's not going to be flooded. And if it gets flooded, God will protect me, but I'm not moving from this riverside. So in today's logical, Elisha by the river, waiting and waiting and waiting, that made no sense, okay? And some religious people would say, listen, you got to check who you're listening to because you got several days and months and weeks waiting by the river. Man of God, you're going to get sick. You got to check. You better go look for the prophet and hear if God is talking to you. You need confirmation. You see why God is not pleased with confirmation? Because some people spend all their life looking for confirmation and never settle. We need to be careful with confirmation. My brother and sister. Elisha, you need confirmation. Because I see you just missed by the river and you say you're waiting on God. That's not logical, Elisha. Some of the religious people would say today. My brother and sister. But Elisha will say, My Lord liveth, so my soul liveth. I'm staying by this river. I'm not moving. God wants me here. I'm not moving. Elisha, the voice of God. My son, go to the widow house. There, I will provide your support there. Go, Elisha. And Elisha goes to the widow house. And the first thing a religious person who's after prosperity will say, no, this is not of God. God did not send me to the widow's house because this woman is broke. And I'm a son of God. I'm not coming to this broke house. What am I going to hear? What am I going to address here? No, I got to get confirmation about this because this woman is broke. The house looks clean, but the woman is broke. She doesn't even have juice or soda or anything there. She doesn't even have oil to cook. You know, I better check if God sent me here. No. God says to go to the house of the widow. And God said there will be provision there. He's going to provide. You got to take the word provide that God said he will provide in the house of the widow. Elisha left to the house of the widow. And when he gets there, the situation, some people say, looks so bad that the woman says she only has a meal for her and her son, and then they will die. People say, that is a broke situation. That is broke. No money there. I'm out of here, and they walk away. No. Not when God is leading you. When you know God is leading you, when you have his leading in your life, and he said, go to the house of the widow, you said to the widow, all we need to do is pray. Woman of God, share what you have, and God will provide you enough. Now it takes faith for her to act. But that was the word of God in the mouth of Elisha. And the woman shared what she had with Elisha. Elisha prayed, and there's enough oil and barley for them to eat. Endless supply. She went and got all kinds of container, and they will all be filled with the oil, my brother and sister. It did not finish. All the time Elisha was there, provision was there from God. That's what God will do with us. But all that is through obedience and the leading of the Lord. That's why when I say leading of the Lord, it's so important that you seek that from him, my brother and sister, because you'll see his provision during it. When you move and you don't move in the leading of the Lord, you'll lose provision. I met people who the Lord did not lead them to go do ministry, go move in places where there's abundance, supposedly. And they're over there broken, going hungry, not being able to find a job in the best city, best town of rich people. And before they left, they were fine. They had abundance. God kept abundance in their life. And now they say, well, we're going to go to Kentucky. We're going to go to L.A. We're going to go to New York. And they move in the city with its most abundance, the most expensive city, the most expensive house. They bring enough money to buy houses, really expensive, my brother and sister, with no problem because they had abundance. And when they're there a few months, a few years, all the abundance they brought, they've been living on the saving, and all the money is going downhill, down, every month, down, 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 because the Lord did not let them there. My brother and sister, the Lord did not lead them there. Wherever the Lord take us and lead us, the abundance continue. Elisha was left to a broke family, and Elisha brought the provision with him into the family, and the provision continue. The abundance continue, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. With God and obedience and his leading, there's an abundance. There is provision. There's enough for you to be fine, for you to be well, and not lack what you need daily, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. My family can testify that God has been good to us, and the oil in the house has not lacked. The food has not lacked. The abundance is still there. The provision of the Lord is still there, my brother and sister, under the leadership of the Lord. hell eating, hallelujah, brings the provision. He brings the provision whenever he takes us. I said to the Lord back in Massachusetts, Lord, hallelujah, he was keeping us there and providing us there. Lord, you're leading us to North Carolina, Lord. Hallelujah. If you are leading us there, Lord, I will go. Lord, but where you're leading there? And Jesus came to me. He says to me, my son, I'm sending you there to North Carolina. And my provision will be there with you. I will provide you and your family what you need, my brother and sister. And we came into the state without practically knowing anybody, just following the leading of the Lord. And the provision of the Lord came with us. And it's been in our house, it's been in our life continuously. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. We don't wake up next morning and say, well, we don't have oil and we don't have money. That doesn't happen in my house. The provision of the Lord is there, my brother and sister. He provides. He provides. And when I'm going to say, but we need this, the Lord brings it. The Lord makes it happen. His provision is with us from him, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. And when I'm of asking or complain, we don't have enough. We don't have enough to eat. We don't have enough to wear. He provides. He is a Lord. Jesus himself standing in front of me said he will provide for me and my family. Hallelujah. And he has faithfully, faithfully. Remember, one day I'm going to be standing in front of him and you're going to be standing next to me in heaven. In the same word I'm telling you today, I will say to you, standing in him before his throne, and said, Lord, you provide for my family and I faithfully. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I have witnesses that can testify and say, true, Brother Elvie, he is faithful. And I say to you the same thing, faithful him that sit upon the throne. Put your trust in him. Seek him with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. Hallelujah. Trust him to be your provider, your protector, your shield, your strong tower in the difficult time. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. The Lord is for us. The Lord is with us. He'll take care of us. My brother and sister, time. Hallelujah. It's over. Father said it's over for you. He's about to take his bride out of this earth soon. We need to be ready. My brother and sister, we need to be repenting more and more every day. Now, we've been talking about the bird flu that they're calling to be the next pandemic that is coming. My brother and sister, which is been going around. I'm going to play some audio and let you hear this man of God who talks about these things. And then after he put out a video about it, the former CDC came on and talked about it. You're going to hear it too. Listen to this. My brother and sister, this confirms.
My friends, welcome. By now you've heard about the bird flu. With hundreds of millions of birds having been killed across the world, Germany warning that we're going to see egg shortages by this summer. France, just yesterday, echoing those words, but actually adding we're going to have shortages of eggs and chicken. This is a pretty big deal. Even here in the United States, we're already having shortages of kosher chicken and of eggs here and there. It's because multiple states have taken the steps, including most recently North Carolina, of summarily stopping all poultry shows and banning sales of live birds to the public. Just to be clear, that means you can no longer buy chicks to start up a backyard flock of birds. You can read the post here from the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. If you're permitted to sell chicks, you can sell the birds you've already got on hand, but that's it. No more restocking poultry. It's the end of the line for giving people chickens. Now, this is a pretty big deal, but it's even further codified by the USDA announcing a couple days ago that they are weighing the option of having mandatory vaccinations for all chickens. What this means is we're really toying with that complete corporate takeover of protein production, where only a licensed poultry producer that has the latest Pfizer, bird flu vaccine in all of their birds can be allowed to produce chickens. If you've got birds in your backyard, that's an illegal animal. It's way too dirty and dangerous to allow that. I also want to mention that some of the facilities that have been shut down in the wake of millions of birds being shut down, like Rembrandt in Iowa, Iowa being the largest producer of eggs in the nation, and this facility being one of the largest in the nation, hasn't just killed off their birds and then restarted. They fired over 130 people and are not planning on reopening this facility. That was 5.3 million egg-laying hens were euthanized in mid-March, but they're not going to just restock it and start. No, it's the end of the line for meat production. So what's going on here is much bigger than just some random migratory birds dropping poop and viruses down on your backyard birds. This is a controlled demolition of the protein supply. It takes a lot more than that, after all, to cause what is being called the worst epidemic ever of its kind in Europe of bird flu. And of course, yes, as I mentioned in a previous report, all of these tests that are being used to find the outbreaks are the fraudulent PCR tests. But again, it goes deeper than that. And there is some hint of what's to come in the recent revelations that emerged from the Russian Department of Defense after they took back the territory and discovered documents at these bio labs in Ukraine detailing that several dangerous infectious diseases were being researched there, including H5N1, bird flu, and looking at the potential of spreading these infections via migrating birds, which is exactly what we're hearing is happening. Right? It's not just random birds. This was highly funded, studied research. In fact, it ties back to the very man who is calling for fake meat and investing in fake meat to go prime, Bill Gates. Let's talk about it all. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Broadcast.
So we, you know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is... will get attention this time.
Yeah, a lot of people heard that and wondered what he was talking about, why he had the duper's delight grin, why he couldn't make eye contact with the camera as he looked away, knowing what's coming. Let's take a look at what he's thinking about in this moment. Specifically, let's go back in time to 2008, when the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation started giving grants to a professor at the University of Wisconsin named Yoshihiro Kawaoka. Kawaoka started doing research into bird flu at that time and has since been doing that, even arguably during the moratorium on gain-of-function research. This is Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation is where this all began, and I want to talk about that today. Gates Foundation gave $1.3 million in 2008 to Kawaoka. The purpose of this was to identify mutations in bird flu that could lead to a pandemic, you know, just to study, just to understand. Later that year, Kawaoka unveiled his first tranche of research, saying that we were able to mix and match genes from the original Spanish flu 100 years ago that killed 50 million people, and we put it into bird flu, and we were able to make a very infectious version of this H5N1 bird flu. Specifically, it has to do with using certain genes that allow viruses to propagate in the lungs of mammals and not just in the ear, nose, and throat. You can read from the study here. Kawaoka and his group blended genetic elements from 1918 flu virus with those of the currently circulating bird flu, and then we tested it on ferrets. Lo and behold, this allowed the virus to effectively colonize lung cells and reproduce in the lungs of mammals. Way to go, big guy. Back in 2008, you effectively bridged the gap between this highly infectious bird flu and humans, establishing this zoonotic risk about which we've heard so much from Fauci and all the experts. Well, as you can imagine, Bill Gates was delighted to hear this. He went ahead and gave another $10 million to Kawaoka to continue this Frankenstein research. This is 2009 now. Now, this $10 million, the cover story was we wanted to identify virus mutations that would serve as early warnings of a potential pandemic. In fact, the point here was if we found them early, then we could implement social distancing or start vaccine development. Folks, this, again, to be clear, this is 2009, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is already talking about social distancing, about which most of us hadn't heard for another 12 years. Nonetheless, how are you going to identify potential pandemics? Well, specifically, Kowalka was tasked with identifying mutations in viruses that would allow avian influenza, to get over to humans. Somehow, again, they're very interested in getting bird flu into people, into making this infectious. Again, Kowalka was tremendously successful at this mad scientist stuff. He was able to hybridize the H5N1 influenza with the seasonal influenza virus and make something that was highly virulent and capable of infecting people. Of course, he said this is our concern that it could happen, but I went ahead and did it in a lab just to be sure. When tested this new hybrid in mice, the human virus version of a specific gene, PB2, was able to get H5N1 avian flu into a highly pathogenic form that infected mice and ferrets. Now, this actually prompted some pushback from scientists who have any semblance of ethics whatsoever. Here's an article by one Scott McPherson who said, look, I've been really worried about the potential for this hybridization of bird flu and influenza, human influenza, and for whatever reason, this crazy mad scientist, Kowalka, did it. He went ahead and took $10 million from Bill Gates and made this hugely pathogenic mutation. You can read down here. Kowalka is getting a lot of attention for this research, including more money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And for whatever reason, he took PB2, the segment that allows influenza to affect humans, and spliced it in to H5N1. The result is a more lethal and even more virulent virus than the parent strain. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the definition, the very definition of gain-of-function research, funded by Bill and Melinda Gates, executed by Yoshi Kowalka. This caused a lot of controversy in the scientific community because it's insane, right? We don't have to say why. Here's a piece from The Independent. Controversial U.S. scientists, that's Yoshi Kowalka, creates a deadly new flu strain for pandemic research, being the cover story. Scientists express horror over the creation of this virus that would render the human immune system defenseless. This is now 2014. And Kowalka took the 2009 strain of the flu, which claimed was killed as many as 500,000 people, prompting a bunch of people to take the bird flu vaccine. If you've been keeping your eye on this for a long time, including John Rappaport's research, we know that even these numbers are fraudulent. But notwithstanding, Kowalka took that 2009 strain and then genetically modified it to escape the immune system of humans. In other words, to make it undefeatable by humans. Quote, some members of the audience were shocked and astonished at this latest and most audacious work on the flu virus, which follow on from the recreation of the 1918 flu virus and an earlier project to increase the transmissibility of a highly lethal strain of bird flu. So it's pretty clear what's going on here, right? We're taking bird flu. We're splicing in genes from the Spanish flu, which killed 50 million people. We're mixing in genes from the seasonal influenza virus that affects people. And we're creating these highly pathogenic hybrid viruses that are killing off mice and ferrets and would do the same thing to humans. That's why it was highly controversial. In fact, this was part of what motivated the moratorium on gain-of-function research. Of course, that moratorium was dropped. Come 2019, UW-Madison scientist, that's Kowalka again, is now allowed to resume this controversial research in March of 2019. Controversial research was halted by the government in 2014, but now we can get started again. Many opponents, fellow scientists, in fact, said the research could cause a flu pandemic if this virus escaped from the lab, or if it was reproduced by terrorists, say in a Ukraine biolab. As an example. Now, I'm picking on Dr. Kowalka, but I should also point out that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been funding other people plenty doing the same kinds of work with the bird flu virus. Here's one such study on highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, bird flu, H5N1, looking for pathways of exposure to get this virus into humans. And who's funding it? Right here at the bottom. The work was supported by the UK, but also by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Literally, by the guy who's standing up and saying we should all be eating fake meat. who's funding, to the tune of billions of dollars, all sorts of fake meat, including impossible foods, whose stated goal is to end animal agriculture, to take control over the protein supply, whose CEO stands up and says it's already game over for the meat industry. They just don't realize it yet, because he knows, because his funding from Bill Gates told him, you don't worry about that. I'll be taking care of that with my weaponized bird flu over here. Who says the next pandemic will get their attention and can't even look you in the eye because he knows he's funding it with his left hand over here. But the story gets even more interesting, like I said, given the revelations out of the Russian Department of Defense about these Ukraine biolabs. The Russian Defense Ministry announced that they had found these biolabs where, among other research, there was one project called U.S. Project UP4, researching particularly dangerous infections of migrating birds, including, yes, H5N1, the bird flu. It's been carried out by the U.S. and the NATO allies in Ukraine, and it looks like the U.S. DOD, including their DTRA, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, was funding and carrying out military biological research. This is researching a potential spread of dangerous infections via migrating birds, because it looks like it could be a natural outbreak, is why they did it that way, including the highly pathogenic H5N1, whose lethality for humans, if it can make the jump, and that's a big if, although we've seen that for 20 years now, nearly, they've been working on funding research to make that happen, the lethality could reach 50%. 50% is, like I've said before, the same number we've seen in the media when they put out this predictive programming about an apocalyptic bird flu wiping out half of humanity. They claim that this work was being done in the Ukraine because of its unique geographical location right at the intersection of several transcontinental bird migration routes. So again, let's recap. We have the media pushing out the narrative, establishing this idea that a highly pathogenic bird flu could kill tons of people. It'd be apocalyptic. We have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for nearly 15 years, funding research by Dr. Kowalka and others to make it happen, right? To engineer such a virus that would be able to make the leap from birds into humans and start killing people. And we have biolabs associated with the DOD in Ukraine researching how to get such an H5N1 virus attached to birds and then spreading throughout the world. As you can tell, we have here a recipe for disaster. And what I also find concerning is the way that the media continues to push out this idea, right? We have Victoria Nuland taking to the stage and saying, yeah, there are biological research facilities in Ukraine, and establishing a ton of media buzz around that. We have the media this week really pushing again this idea suddenly that Hunter Biden's laptop has all these links to the Ukraine biolabs. Everyone is being told and reminded furiously about this as if something is about to happen to capitalize on this backstory. And that's concerning. Now, if some of this seems far-fetched, you know, the idea that a virus would be engineered and then deliberately released to kill the food supply, let me just remind you, this has already happened in China, right? As African swine fever decimated over 40% of the pigs in that country a couple of years ago, they've been rebuilding their pig herds since then. The Chinese Communist Party announced that there were gangs of criminals using drones to spread infected biological material to get the virus, the ASF, to spread. I think that's pretty far-fetched. It doesn't seem like criminal gangs would go to such lengths to do bioterrorism via drones just to go sell some pig meat. It sounds more like the Chinese Communist Party was deliberately spreading this virus using drones so that they could take more control over the protein supply, which is exactly what's happened. Tons of small Chinese hog farmers went out of business. They were told, go get a new job. And instead, these highly technology automated, etc., facilities that use indoor pig farming were constructed, a lot of them state-owned. So this, again, this is the consolidation of control over the food supply into very few hands. By the way, Bill Gates has been doing plenty of research into African swine fever. Here's one, just one study. You can pick a number about African swine fever. funded, of course, by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Syngenta, for that matter, one of the biggest food companies in the world. Even the USDA has been running African swine fever drills here in the United States. Folks, I wouldn't be surprised if we see African swine fever unveiled in the U.S. as well to wreak havoc on the pork supply. But that's another story. So the bottom line here today is that even just by virtue of this fraudulent PCR testing, we are witnessing the elimination of hundreds of millions of birds, the shuttering of egg production facilities, including the largest in the United States, egg shortages, poultry shortages already on the horizon, the shutting down of private chicken ownership. You're not allowed to buy chickens anymore. This is already done. All of this is objectively happened. You can verify. I've got the links below if you want to look into it. And I probably should just stop the video there, but I do want to close by asking that question, exploring that hypothetical. As this sea change in narrative happens, where the media is airing all of the dirty laundry of the Bidens and the U.S. biolabs and admitting to these things, and suggesting that now Russia and China will save us from NATO and we'll have a new multipolar world order experiencing rapid de-dollarization, there is a character assassination of the nation, of the United States, going on right now. And so there does exist a possibility that one of these weaponized bird flus that we know exists, we've seen it created by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation under Dr. Kuroka, is released. Of course, the U.S. will blame Russia, and Russia will blame the U.S., and so on and so forth. But notwithstanding, it will roll us right back into lockdowns and social distancing and all of the medical martial law that we've now practiced for a couple of years under COVID-19. It would necessitate the even more killing of poultry and push birds inside forever, right? Solidifying control by the corporatocracy of protein production, and really accelerate a lot of the agendas that are already at play. That's why I think this question is worth asking. And they may not need to do this. After all, they're already delivering on a lot of this agenda, and so it may just be that this is, you know, oh, look out for apocalyptic bird flu and cyber pandemics and nuclear first strikes, and you know, they're definitely delivering as much fear as possible, and that is their primary weapon, because that keeps us from innovating. It keeps us from imagining and creating the future that is coming. These people have already lost. These are the last acts of a dying system. You and I are working today to build decentralized food production off their grid energy systems, away from their debt-based currencies. It's already happening. It's already happened, right? We're just, now you and I just have to execute on that. But I think this is a worthwhile question to ask. And in fact, I'm often asked, why am I supposed to grow food if they're just going to come and take it? No, guys, the more of us that grow gardens, other people see that, and they're inspired, and it spreads. This is a butterfly effect going on right now, and it is not stoppable. You cannot contain the human spirit, and especially I think this is true of food. You can't take food and cultivation away from humanity. It's part of us. It is innate. It makes us who we are. It's part of our culture and our harvest holidays. It's everything to us. And so they will fail. They are failing. But I did want to have this conversation today so that we can stay aware of what their possible plans are. Let's leave it there. Folks, thanks very much for watching. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you value this broadcast, if you appreciate this information and these thoughts, you can help me keep this broadcast running. There's a few ways to do that at iceagefarmer.com/support, including you can find me on subscribestar.com/iceagefarmer, and I very genuinely appreciate and need your help to keep this going, so thank you. Folks, let's go raise awesome animals. You can still get chicks from your neighbors, and it's super easy to take fertilized eggs and put them in an incubator or put them under a hen and then share. You know, we don't need the commercial industry to reboot our decentralized food production. We just have to put in the effort and make that happen right now. So let's get back to it. Thanks for watching, folks. Be well. My friends, welcome. Yesterday I posted my report detailing the Gates Foundation's funding of gain-of-function research into H5N1, attempting to get it to cross over into humans. And I asked the question, is bird flu going to be the next pandemic? What I didn't realize was that just last week, former CDC Director Robert Redfield answered my question.
Yeah, I think we have to recognize, I've always said that I think the COVID pandemic was a wake-up call. I don't believe it's the great pandemic. I believe the great pandemic is still in the future, and that's going to be a bird flu pandemic for man. It's going to have significant mortality in the 10 to 50% range. It's going to be trouble, and we should get prepared for it. I do believe that the pandemic risk is a greater risk of the national security of the United States than Korea, China, Russia, Iran. And we ought to start investing proportional to that national security risk so we're prepared.
Wow. So the former CDC director, who, for the record, was very much involved in and entirely aligned with Dr. Fauci on the response to COVID-19, is telling us in no uncertain terms that, yes, bird flu will be the next plandemic. In fact, it will be the real one. It will jump into humans, and he even cites the same fatality numbers that the Gates Foundation-funded gain-of-function research on H5N1 bird flu was able to achieve by splicing genes from the Spanish flu 100 years ago and the seasonal influenza now to make a mutant hybrid nasty bird flu that'll kill half the world population. That's what the media has been telegraphing us is about to happen. I'm not the only one asking if bird flu will be the next plandemic. In fact, NPR has been putting out pieces posing this, sort of setting the stage with some predictive programming, and even organizations like the International Livestock Research Institute has been suggesting bird flu could be the next global plandemic. That is part of CGIAR, which itself was also funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to the tune of upwards of $1 billion in order to create an agricultural system with gender equality and climate resilience. So there is a network of nastiness which has funded the research into the creation of a highly fatal, a weaponized bird flu, let's get down to brass tacks there, and is now telegraphing from their various positions, having infiltrated various offices of health and agriculture and food policy, that bird flu will be the next plandemic. Remember, even Fauci himself authored this paper in 2020 where he wrote that pandemics have been happening ever since human hunter-gatherers made the mistake of settling into villages, domesticating animals, and cultivating crops, because it's agriculture that has to be transformed right now. It's the food they're coming after. And they have warned us, and we should heed their warning.
USDA is reporting an outbreak of the avian influenza, the bird flu. CBS 46's Crystal Bowie talks with experts about how this virus could affect your family and your budget, and it's even causing some people to kill their chickens.
CBS 46's Crystal Bowie speaks to experts about how this virus will affect your family as well as your budget.
Almost 23 million birds have been killed to prevent the spread of avian influenza as case counts grow in the U.S. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
It was time for migrations. The wild birds carried the virus.
And that virus, also known as the bird flu, could have a direct impact on your family dinners. The Consumer Price Index shows egg prices already up 11.4% this February compared to the year before. Some of that increase due to inflation and supply chain issues, but it likely won't get better if this virus continues to spread. As for the safety of the poultry products that are available.
And it is not an issue with the food safety either. So it's truly a live bird problem.
Fully cooking poultry and eggs will kill bacteria and viruses. The USDA also says their food safety and inspection service program should give consumers confidence that the food they're eating is safe. Their inspection checks for signs of disease both before and after slaughter. That's to prevent infected poultry from entering the food chain. There's a hotline that the state wants you to contact if you suspect any birds have the avian influenza. You can find that information. Go to CBS46.com. Reporting in Atlanta, Crystal Bowie, CBS 46 News.
Hallelujah, the utterance, the hallelujah anointing to be able to share his word. Hallelujah, according to his revelation, I will share tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We're going to go into the word. Amen. Because it is a Bible study. Praise you, Jesus. So, hallelujah, we will be in the word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Luke 6:12 says that it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is where his heart is. My brother and sister, hallelujah, spending all night with the Father is where his heart is. The Lord spoken to me yesterday morning in regard to this, him, hallelujah, Jesus spoke to me, and hallelujah, and said yes, that yes, his heart is to be talking with the Father, to be doing the Father's will, my brother and sister. And when we open the Bible, when we open his word, that's what we see. Him looking to seeing the Father well, my brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And this is why, hallelujah, John 17 is, this word spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. And thy Son also may glorify thee. Hallelujah. And he did so very well. He glorified the Father. Shalom, Sister Luna. My brother and sister. He always looked forward to spending time with the Father. Being with the Father. Doing the Father's will. The Lord is a great example in the Bible on how to serve God. If anyone wants to know how to serve God, Jesus, our Lord, our Rabbi, our teacher, is the great example that we should follow. Shalom, Sister Consuelo, Brother Estrada, Joseph, hallelujah. Shalom, Brian. Shalom to each and one of you that are joining us. Jesus is that great example on how to serve God, my brother and sister. So we need to look at to his example. Amen. So the Bible says that, hallelujah, in Luke 6:12, that it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continue, hallelujah, in prayer to God. Okay? All night long. All night. Okay? He was never like us, looking just to pray enough. An hour or less. Hallelujah. Actually, an hour is your tithes to him. Okay? It's a minimum. An hour is the minimum. Okay? 3 hours is fair. 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. But an hour is the minimum, my brother and sister. That's our tithe. And some people owe God on their minimum, on their tithes in offering. My brother and sister. So, hallelujah. When he asked the disciples, could they not pray with him 1 hour, my brother and sister, in Gethsemane? Peter, John, hallelujah. Can you not pray with me 1 hour, he says. Hallelujah. Why, hallelujah, it's so important that they will pray with him 1 hour because that was their tie to God, my brother and sister. Okay? Matthew 26:40. And he came to his disciples and found them asleep. You got to get your 8 hours. You got to get your 8 hours. They say, you got to get your 8 hours. Huh? And they get people always to be trusting in nothing. Because if it's about your flesh, flesh is weak. That's what the Bible says about the flesh. The flesh is weak. The lust of the flesh. How can you trust in your flesh then? How can you trust in your flesh? The lust of the flesh. Your flesh is weak, the Lord says. So how can you trust your? You got to get your 8 hours of sleep. You got to get your hours. Well, Jesus never followed their teaching. Okay? He never followed their teaching. Luke 6, 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. Does it sound to you, does it look to you that he was looking to go into prayer and then get 8 hours of sleep? No, he never did. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. The Lord took me out of my body yesterday morning. Hallelujah. And wanted to show me something amazing. And I said amazing because I didn't know. And I know a lot of you don't know neither. But I know most of you, this is the first time you're going to hear this. Because it was my first time hearing it from the Lord. And I thank him, our rabbi, because he's always teaching us something we don't know. We have no idea it's this way. Okay? We have no idea that anyone on the earth don't know. We don't know. He has to teach us the things that we must know, that it's important for us to know. Okay? Praise to Jesus. He took me back when the coronavirus was being released in 2019 from the first time. Okay? I was in this entrance of hell or exit of hell, I would say, exit of hell. It was like a tunnel. I was standing far off because the Lord wanted me to get a wider view and see. Okay? And I saw they were taking out of hell what is known to us to be today the coronavirus. But it was a demon. And when I saw the demon that they were taking out, the demon, the Lord let me know, was the virus. My brother and sister, that we know today as coronavirus or COVID-19. And this demon was black, black, black. Dark as dark can get. Very dark, very evil. I could tell you, hallelujah, it's very evil. Shalom, Victory Rider. And he was being released upon humanity in 2019. The Lord took me back then for me to see the horrible demon that they were releasing on the earth and the damage that he had brought upon this earth. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. And these demon-like secret service demon or high security around him, where they knew he is so weak and evil. And of course, God is in control. We know this. It is not to be doubted or to be questioned. He has to allow this. The devil cannot just do this because people on earth, a few millions on earth, want this to be released. No. Or begging him to get this released. No. It is not possible. With God, all things are possible, but not with the devil. He has to beg God for certain so evil and wicked like this to be released because God knows the damage that it's going to do. This is why Father told me back in early 2020 that nothing known by men will cure the coronavirus. Because as people see it as biological weapon, which may be the tool, because there's always a tool they use. There's always something they use. The president of Syria released these bioweapons upon their own people and kill many of them, but no one could stop them from dying. But this one now was being released, all humanity, this vile weapon demon, okay? All the demons we use in the bioweapon. and it was being released upon humanity. And the Lord was showing me the demon. We focus on the tangible things, material, but we forget about the spiritual side of things, my brothers and sisters. And this demon that was being released, so as they were bringing it out of hell to release it upon the earth, I can see the wickedness of this demon. I could understand the damage that he will brought upon humanity when they will release it upon humanity. And we have seen the consequence of how so many people have died. My brother and sister, I'm only glad for those that were ready to die and went to heaven, for sure, because it's always someone repenting. This is why repenting is so important, my brother and sister. So, so important that we be in daily repenting with the Lord, repenting our sins, our trespasses before him. And before the Lord showed me the demon, Jesus spoke to me and confirmed, yes, that I've been talking about not sleeping all night long. That he says that he never looked to sleep all night long, but looked to spending time with the Father, he says to me. And then began to show me that wickedness being released out of hell, took me there. Wow. But hearing the Lord, because I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't have a word for Sunday. And understanding how important that word you gave me on Tuesday, that I must repeat that word on Sunday. Because those that were not able to listen on Tuesday night must listen on Sunday, that word that Jesus given me, my brother and sister, for the last days. Hallelujah. Things are coming to pass so quickly. I said a few months ago that the Vaccine, hallelujah, will be the law of the land. The Vaccine will be the law of the land. And sure, a lot of people disagree with me. But can you see where it's going? Even with Biden, Pelosi, CDC, and all of them that said, CDC director, and all of them have said that they cannot make mandate the vaccine, that they say one thing and they do another. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, when the Lord speaks as the Antichrist, what did he say? He comes with all lies. They will never tell you the truth about a thing they're going to do. They lie. That's why Jesus began his Bible study in Matthew 24, be ye not deceived. Don't you be deceived. He begins his Bible study this way. He says, give us the signs of the end. Tell us when is your coming. Tell us about your return. And the disciples are crushing their hand and head. And please tell us. The first word of this Bible study was, be ye not deceived. Okay? Very important. You won't be deceived by your government, by your leaders. Because right now, they all have made the commitment to evil, not to the Lord. If they will be for the Lord, they will speak of the Lord. Because anyone who wears what the Lord talks about the Lord and nothing else, glorify the Lord and nothing else. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. But because they only talk about themselves and their lies, they're coming out of their mouth constantly. Poor humanity is falling into the lies, and this is why so many have taken the vaccine. And Jesus is taking me to the place of hell with the soul of those that are taking the vaccine. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. They don't, my brother and sister, like us talking about this. But right now, there's nothing they can do. The Lord God Almighty wants me to be speaking about these things. And when they tried, they hacked my computer, my network, my internet, my accounts, my brother and sister. They done everything possible to keep me out of the air. My brothers and their limited power. They done it. They use everything they can. But the Lord is the one keeping me on the air until he says so. Until Father says so. My brother and sister, but they hide down so. Hallelujah. I remember a few weeks ago when the Lord allowed one of the generals to come and talk to me, knock on my door and said, if I was vaccinated, to show them the proof that I was vaccinated. And when I told them my name, they say, oh, I know who you are. You're Elvis Zapata. We listen to you on the Lord Jehovah. He says, hallelujah. Yes, we do so. And this is why we're on the air. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, because it's not what they say, it's what God says. And God can keep us on the air forever if he wants to. And there's nothing they can do. Because my Father, our Father, has all power in heaven and earth. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. There's nothing they can do against God. And as long as God wants us to be here, we're here. And we're not going to be here for too long anyway. When I asked the Lord last time, why are we here? The Lord said, because ye are my witnesses. In other words, we my witness. And another thing Jesus said to me, I told you that on that great day I want to be fishing with my family in heaven. And Jesus said to me, no, you are going to be on that judgment as a witness, he says, against them. I'm like, uh-oh. You're one of them I have chosen to be on a great judgment as a witness. So let's buckle ourselves here and let's polish our shoes because we're going to be there. My brother and sister, let's brush our teeth. Let's polish our shoes because we're going to be there. Okay? I wasn't planning to be there. I think fishing for me would have been, I didn't want to see the faces of those people that are going to be judged, but the Lord said that I have to be there. He said, you have to be there. Oh, there's go my fishing day. Cancel my fishing day. And my brother and sister, and have to polish my shoes and get ready to be there. It's going to be one of that great day of the Lord, the Bible says. My Lord, my God, have mercy. So again, he takes me to hell yesterday morning after taking me to hell a couple nine before. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't like hell. I just don't like it. My brother and sister, I just don't like being going there. But, you know, let his will be done, not mine, not ours. What do we know? Okay, he wants it, amen. He wants to take us back there. Praise you, Lord. Praise to God. He knows how we feel, but we must be a witness of what's happening. The end is at hand. Jesus is about to return for his people. So he wants us to be doing the last. Okay? I remember him walking with me outside the wedding, telling me, go ahead and tell them. And after you do, it's after them. Okay? Praise the Lord. As he told Ezekiel the prophet, you know, go into the wicked to repent. So the blood will not be on you. So, you know, I'm speaking. I'm letting them know, my brother and sister, hallelujah, let the blood be on them. It's for them to repent. It is for them to take the word. The word is being put online, nationally, internationally. And I know a lot of my brothers and sisters put their link on their YouTube page, Facebook page, and so much more. Okay, we're giving the message out. Okay, we're doing what he's asking us to do. Praise the Lord. Now it's after them to repent, to listen, to hear. Okay, because if the governments are listening to my message every day, they know my topics, they know what I talk about. So the CIA, NSA, FBI, they have no excuse. Now they're listening to my message. Okay, so they have no excuse. None. okay? So anyone listening have no excuse, even though if it still is to investigate, to know, we want to hear what he's talking about. Why is he saying this or that? I'm saying it because the Lord wants me to say it. He's my Lord. He is my rabbi. He's my equal opportunity employer. So, hey, I work for him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. As we pray earnestly, night and day, the Apostle Paul is saying, that we might see your face, it might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. The advantage of praying overnight is that your faith gets increased. Paul said to the Thessalonians. Can you imagine that? Okay? Always seeking to be praying increases your faith, empower your faith. My brother and sister, this is why it's important to pray overnight. Nine is important. As we read all these verses from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end, you see the nine, praying a nine is important because it's when your body wants to fall asleep and you need to be awake. It's important. Communion with God, union. Communion and union be the same. Okay? The communion of the Spirit. We pray earnestly night and day, he says. But he says nine. Why nine at first and not day? My brother and sister. Because they were looking forward to praying at night. Jesus prayed all night long. He looked forward to praying with the Father all night long. I believe also it's part of not being disturbed by anyone when you're in prayer with God. Because most of the rest of the people sleep. Paul said, those who sleep at night. But we are children of the day. Sober, be sober. Okay? It's important that we look forward to praying with him, not looking forward to sleep much. Okay? Because we do sleep too much. And it's because this society in all these years have told us that we need to get 8 hours. But 8 hours is really not that good for us. Okay? Pray about this. Pray about this. Anything I tell you, pray about it. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:5. Now, she that is indeed a widow, desolated true in God, continuing supplication and prayer night and day. See how they say it? Night and day. Night at first because they're looking forward to praying with God. They're following Jesus' example. The disciple later on in the book of Acts, it was like they were awakened because then they looked back to Jesus and said, wait a minute, what did he do? What did he do when he was on the earth? He prayed all night long because now they understood that they needed to follow his example. Okay? And they realize now, they were awakened to say, wow, if Jesus lived this way, this means that we got to live the same. We got to follow the same example. He only looked forward to being with Father, spending time with Father. That means that we need to be doing the same. And that really got to Matthew. That really got to Peter and them. Look at them. They really now understood the calling and said, well, and then comes the Apostle Paul that did not walk with Jesus on the earth, only heard about him, but then followed the same example. My brother and sister. We're following an example here. Jesus is our example, my brother and sister. And when we talk about Father, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The book of Psalms says, okay? Father never sleeps. He doesn't slumber neither. He's right awake every day, every hour. You want to follow a great example? There it is. Jesus said the Father is greater than I. He's following that he knows the Father is up all night long, all day long, running the universe, and that he can talk to him at any hour, at any time, and Father's listening, and Father will be working in our behalf when we pray. Someone said, pray or move God to work on our behalf. Why would you not pray? That when God, all things are possible. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. So it's so important that we pray. and that we understand that every time you ask God to do something for you or for someone, okay, God gets to work for you. God gets to work for that someone. You're sending him to work. Isn't that amazing that you can ask, Father, Father, will you go and keep in such person, keep this person, help this person to know you, help this person to come to your knowledge, help this person to commune with you, help this person to be safe, keep this person protected, deliver this person from all evil. Look at the task you're giving God in prayer. Look at the task you're sending him to do when you ask him for something. Now he is, his task now is to help this person to know him, keep this person safe, and save this person. Now everything this person encounters in their daily life is God facing this person through someone or something to get this person to know him. My brother and sisters, even to creation, God can reveal himself to someone who doesn't know him. Through his angelic revelation, hallelujah, mighty dream like Jacob, and reveal himself to the person through a dream. The task that you're giving God is a mighty task that only God can do. Nobody else can do this. Hallelujah. Nobody else has the capability, the knowledge, and the knowing to get someone who totally doesn't know God to know him, to keep this person safe, and to lead this person to his knowledge and understanding of him and save this person. You're asking God to do so much for someone. To God, that is nothing. Let me tell you, nothing. To us, it's like, wow. How are you going to get this done? Don't even hesitate for a second about the power of God, because God can do anything. To him, all things are possible. My brother and sister, all things are possible for him. Hallelujah. And these things that we're asking are so small. They're so small. They are so little. And what God can do, that if one day when you meet Father in his throne face to face, you're going to say, wow, did we know nothing? I've been in heaven. And when I look back to my life, the only thing I can think, we are so little. That's why the Bible says little children, because we're so little. Hallelujah. We know so little. My brother and sister, Mark 14:37, he came back and found them asleep and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could thou not watch with me 1 hour? He knew the benefit of them praying 1 hour, at least. The obedience of praying 1 hour, at least. He knew. They didn't know. They were tired and they just wanted to catch some sleep, as we say. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to catch some sleep. But Jesus knew the benefit of them praying with him at least 1 hour before they went to sleep. Because that's how he was asking them. He asked them for at least 1 hour before they went to sleep. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Obedient at least. Amen. There you go. So, hallelujah. That is the Lord saying to us is, if you just pray at least 1 hour with me every day, I'm fine with you. Okay? I'm not going to rebuke you if you pray with me 1 hour, telling you don't pray, you know? Because that's what he told his disciples. At least 1 hour. At least. At least, Peter. At least, John. At least. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When the disciple understood the importance of prayer, my brother and sister, they pray after that 3 times a day. Hallelujah. 3 times a day they pray. Hallelujah. Why did they pray 3 times? Why did Peter pray 3 times a day? Why him and John look forward to spending time with God three times a day, because now they understood. Hallelujah. Act 3:1. Now Peter and John went out together unto the temple. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Come on, computer, help me out. Thank you, Lord. They went out to the temple at that hour in prayer, being the ninth hour, when certain men lay there from his mother's womb, being carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called the Beautiful, to ask for a donation, I guess, from those that enter the temple. Hallelujah. Now, here is a fact of prayer. Prayer brings you closer to God, and through prayer, God empowers you to use your miracle. If God's going to use his bride in the last day and mighty miracles and signs, his bride needs to be in prayer. His bride needs to be spending time with him in prayer. This is why with the first revival at the first church, hallelujah, began with the disciples fasting and prayer and the promise of the Holy Spirit coming upon their life, my brother and sister. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What were they doing there, my brother and sister, with one accord in one place?